Greetings and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. My name is Lance White, Zany Mystic, and I am your host. I'm absolutely delighted to have Petra as my guest, who is best known as Magenta Pixie. Magenta Pixie channels a collective energy who present as nine white-winged beings. She has been receiving this information since 1993, but has now been told to release it to other like-minded souls and to those known as lightworkers. They say, united we stand, divided we fall, and that it is time for the lightworkers, the mediums, the researchers, the scientists, and all those with differing perspectives on the 2012 Earth changes to come together as a collective force and bring forward their knowledge in whatever way it may be. Her messages are unique in that they are crafted with elegant graphics and music on YouTube. The loving and wise energies of the White Wing Collective Consciousness of Nine enfold and inform. You can find her body of work by going to YouTube and typing in Magenta Pixie. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Petra. How are you?
Hello, Zany. I'm fine, thank you.
Well, first, you're in the UK, so I want to thank you for being on the show and just tell you how much I appreciate and love your amazing body of work.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor for you to ask me.
And you have such a beautiful voice. It's perfect for channeling and for speaking in public.
Well, I think you have a beautiful voice. I absolutely love the American accent. I think it's lovely.
Oh, well, thank you so terribly much. I love the English accent, so it's a mutual love affair.
Yeah, I do have quite a few American subscribers of my YouTube channel, and I do have quite a few tell me they like my English accent, and I simply love the American accent. I guess it's because it's different.
I guess. I don't know. There's just something quite charming about the way that you should, you know, the way that you speak. I've always loved the English accent, you know, going back to David Niven and some of the wonderful British actors and comedians that have, you know, come down throughout the last 20, 30 years. Terry Thomas.
I'm not familiar with Terry Thomas. I know David Niven. But there are so many different types of English accents, just like in America, and I think mine is quite average, really.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't think so over here in America, so we'll just stay with special.
Lovely, thank you.
I'm going to start with a simple question. How did you select the name Magenta Pixie? And I guess your real name or handle is Magenta Pixie 2012.
That's right. Well, Pixie, I have always written stories ever since I was little, and they're mostly fairy stories about fairies and pixies and fantasy. So Pixie is very close to my heart because I love fairies and pixies. Magenta. Now, that came from, I was watching a beautiful video on YouTube by the channel George Kabasalas, and I thought his work was just amazing, and I resonated with it, and a lot of things he was saying I picked up similar from the nine. And he started to talk about all the different colors that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the colors he was talking about in the, you know, God force source energy was this lovely pink, magenta.
Mm.
And it stuck with me. The next day I went out for lunch, and while I was having lunch, which I often do, I'll have a conversation with the person I'm having lunch with, and I'm having a conversation with the nine at the same time.
Huh.
And I asked them if about these colors that George Kabasalas had spoken about, and I said, can you show me the color of God? And I closed my eyes, and I saw this magenta, it was like, it was kind of like a tunnel with all this lovely, like electrical lights coming out of the side, but it was this exact magenta color that George Kabasalas had spoken of. And I think it was a few days later that I had decided to release my first video. And I had no idea my videos would be as well received as they have been. And I just picked the first thing that came out of my head. And as magenta had been in my head for the last few days, and I liked Pixie, I just kind of threw the words together, really.
I guess it was just destiny.
And 2012, because that was the focus of a lot of the talk I was getting from the Nine about the Ascension and the date 2012 and how that's significant. So I popped that in as well. So there you go, Magenta Pixie 2012.
Well, you know, I had a friend ask me to ask you about the use of the color magenta because she resonates to that vibration. And she wondered about the significance of the magenta ray. So I guess you kind of answered that question, that it was kind of like, you know, you said it was kind of like the god or source or the color that you saw or were shown.
That's true. I mean, the Nine show me there are more than one color.
Well, yes.
But in that realm where the Nine reside and where the higher dimensional energies reside, there's sound and color,
yeah,
and light, and that's how they communicate. Their language is color, and color represents emotion, and the magenta is the color of the heart and of love.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it than that, though, but yes, it's, if you want to say the color of God is magenta, that's one of the most significant colors, and it's it has a mathematical number associated with it as well, but I don't really see what that number is.
Okay.
Very good with numbers, but yes, it is a significant color, and you can focus on the color magenta when you're in meditation and bring forward that energy to
wow.
you.
You know, there are a lot of, I know you know about the indigo kids, the indigo children that have been born on the planet, that have been coming forth probably, I guess, the last 20 or 30 years, called indigos and crystals and so on. So I'm guessing that they're connected to these colors or rays that are from a higher vibration or density.
Yes, that's right. It seems to be that there has been a group of children born
mm-hmm.
at different periods throughout our timeline that match the color of their ability. So there was like violet children coming in and then indigo. And I believe I was one of the first indigo. I think I'm within the indigo range, although I'm actually 43, so I am older than the indigo era. But I also feel that I resonate with the indigo, whole indigo movement and the indigo children. And then the crystal children are the younger ones. I don't really know that much about this, and I haven't really researched it very much. I only know what the Nine have shown me, but the indigo children were really and are very, very specific and connected to the entire Ascension movement, and again, the crystal children, because all of those that have been born with these beautiful colored indigo auras have come forward from a higher density and kind of come back in time, really, to our Earth now. And so whatever's happening now with the Ascension, these indigo children have done this before. They've already ascended and moved forward into a higher dimension. So they know inside what to do. They know the process. So as they awaken their memories, then they help take the whole planet forward. And that's really what the Nine show me about the significance of these children. And before the indigo were these violet. It was like a darker color. And I think they also correspond with the chakra colors as well.
Mm, right. That would make sense. Are the Nine always with you? Are you always able to tap into or get the color or the frequency from the Nine?
Right. If I'm standing in alignment, then yes, they are always with me and I can always tap into them. And by standing in alignment, I mean if I have clarity of thought, I'm feeling loving, I have loving energies coming into my life, I'm giving love, I'm feeling compassion, I'm helping people, I'm walking in that flow of light.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying they're not there for me if I move out of that, because they also are. But the clarity of the link between myself and the nine is much more focused when I'm standing in a similar vibration myself, and I'm feeling love, and I'm helping others and being compassionate. In my life, because they've been with me, the nine, consciously. Well, the nine have been consciously with me for about 5 years, but previous to that was a spirit guide, very connected to the nine. It was just a different form that the nine showed me. They didn't come to me as the nine originally. For about 17, 18 years.
Wow.
And there have been times in my life when I have shut that connection off for various reasons. For example, I had a relationship with a guy about sort of going back 7, 8 years who was pagan, very pagan. And he felt that channeling was New Age and he didn't like it. And in order to try and please him and, you know, try and make our relationship work, I kind of stopped channeling. So, but yes, in answer to your question, they are usually there with me and I'm able to communicate with them.
Wow, this is all so interesting, because it, you know, the first time I watched one of your messages, it was the October, I think it was the one on the crystalline energies. One of the members of my group, Awakening Cosmic Consciousness, her name is Crystal. She sent a link to that particular video, and as I watched it, I just got it. It was like, wow, this is real. This is higher energy coming through, and everything they said was just resonated perfectly within me. And so from there, I started to look, and I thought, oh, she's done other videos, and I started to tune into it, and they all resonated. I mean, there was very little, you know, I mean, within a nanoparticle that I felt might not quite be on, but they were all on. I mean, I just didn't get any false or fake, you know, energies from it. They all made sense to me, and they all felt like they came from a higher source. And believe me, I watch and tune into a lot of information. I've talked to a lot of channelers and, you know, people who have channeled since they were 19 and they're now 60. So I have developed an ability to sense, you know, authenticity, and yours resonate as authentic. So I just wanted to get that in at some point.
Well, that's really lovely to hear, Zany, and it is really nice when you resonate with someone and with their work, especially if that material is channeled. And the few emails you and I have shared, I resonate also with everything that you have said to me about, you know, your experiences. And I absolutely can't wait to read your book. I'm really looking forward to reading your book.
Oh, good, but, good, wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I have a copy that was slightly damaged on my desk, but it's a dining room table, but used as a desk, and I just picked it up at random, and I started reading about the shift in consciousness and, you know, the coming shift in 2012 and the rest, and it was kind of like I was reading it as if I had channeled it from the future to the past, and I was just reading it right now. So all of these things, you know, we're not linear, we're multidimensional, we weave in and out of all these densities, and I think we're just starting to tap into this now, and you're kind of on the cutting edge of all of this.
Well, I agree. I mean, the same thing has happened with my videos.
Yeah.
I've brought forward the channeling, and I've done it through automatic writing, released the video, and then something's happened in my life, and I'll get a message from the nine saying, you know, you should listen to your own, that which you teach others, that which you show others, can come back to you. And I'll click on a particular video, and I'll watch it, and it's like it isn't me speaking, it's like it was me in the future.
Yeah,
as you say, when you read your book, it's like me in the future talking back to myself, and yet I channeled that video and uploaded it, say, 2 weeks ago. So I know exactly what you mean about these shifts in time and these movements, you know, back into our past and forward into our future, and then realizing that all these different time zones, past, present, future, are all actually one time.
Yeah.
And that is becoming very obvious to people now. I get a lot of emails from people who are experiencing these time shifts, and these, you know, these differences in time and this now moment lasting for much longer. You know, there's a lot of people out there now having the most extraordinary experiences, and I'm very lucky to be able to hear from all of them. I get so many very interesting emails from people who are experiencing the most remarkable things.
Really?
You know, it's lovely.
Do you want to share, can you share some of that with us? I mean, without mentioning names? What are some of
Absolutely.
Those?
I would never mention a name personally, but of course, yes, I can. I mean, one person has been seeing, like, wormholes open up next to him with objects coming out of the wormhole that is... Sometimes he doesn't understand what these objects are. Other times they'll be meaningful to him.
Uh-huh.
Someone else is seeing hieroglyphics on the walls and on the ceiling when he goes to bed at night.
Wow.
Another person's been writing to me seeing this big black square on the wall with kind of an energy coming out of it talking to him. And another friend of mine who is, she's a subscriber, but I have become friends with her and we exchange regular emails. She doesn't have any memories of being taken up to a light ship or being taken away by extraterrestrials or anything, but she gets the feeling when she wakes up that that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have the memories, but she gets the feeling. And this has been happening for a few days, a couple of weeks, and the other day she pulled her covers back. And she found a small, shiny metal object in her bed that she's never seen before. It doesn't belong to anyone in the family. It's completely strange. It's not really jewelry. It's got strange markings on it.
Wow.
She's actually going to send me a photograph so I can take a look. But it's appeared from nowhere.
Wow.
And these are just, I'm just picking these examples out as perhaps the ones that stick in my mind the most. But this is... These experiences are being shared by many, and I can't always answer all my emails to people, and I really apologize to anyone who's out there listening that I haven't replied to. I really wish I had enough hours in the day to reply to every email I get, because I really feel very connected to, well, I can't say I'm connected to everyone who writes to me. I have had the odd email that has been rather negative, and I've had to delete it, but the majority of emails I get, I feel very connected to everyone who writes to me. It's like they're all my friends.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a reunion going on, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's like. And the nine confirmed. That is what's happening. This is a reunion. This is definitely a reunion. We're all family.
Yeah.
We all know each other.
Absolutely.
And we've been taking these paths in a solitary way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of us have been lucky enough to perhaps have the odd one or two members of our soul group with us in our lives, and I've been lucky enough to have my brother and my father with me, and I believe they're both members of my soul group, and they've been with me all my life. But what I mean is, we haven't really been surrounded by lots and lots of like-minded people, and we have walked forward with our beliefs and possibly come across as crazy, and all of a sudden we are being reunited with our soul families, and It's lovely. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and it feels, for me, it feels exponential because, you know, like you said, for decades, you know, we've walked our path, and mine has included a lot of very dark nights of the soul, and you'll read that in my book, Tales of a Zany Mystic, for those who want to see it on Amazon.com. But I talk about all this, and I talk about my drug experiences and what has led me to here, and now it feels like it's just exponential. You know, I've been doing the radio show for several years and talking to some just wonderful people, just all on the cutting edge of various aspects of the awakening process. And you mentioned the Ascension in 2012. I feel like it's all kind of leading to a singularity or a point where something will shift. Is that what the nine are telling us?
Yes, exactly. It is definitely leading to a point or a singularity. And they're telling me that is really what is happening. That isn't just a metaphoric feeling, although it is metaphoric, it is really happening. And I believe there are many scientists or astrologers talking about this move back to the galactic center, mm-hmm. the center of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
That didn't come from the Nine. I just researched that, but it backs up what the Nine says. But how they explained things to me, and this was very bizarre how this happened. I was actually lying in bed. I couldn't sleep. It was very early in the morning. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up, and there was just like this energy of words sitting there in my head. And this isn't always how channeling comes to me. This is quite rare. Channeling normally comes to me when I link in and ask a question, and then they come forward. But this was an entire piece of channeling, an entire channeled material just hanging in my head. And do you know, Zany, I could not go back to sleep. I had to get up and had to release it. If I didn't release it from that place in my head, I just wouldn't have been able to function. And what came through was the video I released that's called Returning to the Core of the Spiral in 2012. And that's where they showed me that we are actually in a spiral going round and round and round and round. And then there's this point. And that point is aligning with the 21st of December 2012. And everything is kind of speeding up. As we're going into this spiral, it's like our circles are getting smaller and smaller and smaller as, mm-hmm. as we go forward to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be this shift,
mm-hmm.
and then we are coming out the other side.
Wow.
And what's actually happened is the spiral we're in now as we go towards this point has already been written. And there are all these timelines that the Nine can see. When we shift into coming out the other side, that, again, on a higher level, that has been written. But from our perspective, that's not been written. And the Nine have not seen that. That's all like new territory where we create it with our consciousness. And we merge at the point of reaching this core. We merge with our higher dimensional selves. The Nine will merge with us, the extraterrestrial galactic family. We're merging with them at that point. Whatever that may mean, however you interpret that, the Nine show me this merging, and also they show me a swapping over. Something will swap. I feel possibly time and space will flip over, or possibly dream time and what we know as awake time will flip. But it's definitely a shift from what we know as third density through fourth into fifth density. That's what they tell me.
Wow. I wonder.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It absolutely. And, you know, this maps over what, you know, all the Mayan scholars have been talking about, too. In fact, somebody was just mentioning this in the group that, you know, the Mayans talk about the spiral. It's not a circle, it's a spiral, and it's tightening or getting more closer to the core, just as you said. And that nobody knows what happens when all of this kind of blinks off for a moment. It's kind of like the Hindus explain this as God, for trillions of years, you know, experiences one, you know, this variety of experiences, and then for a moment on the stage, as he's turning around, he blinks out momentarily, and nobody knows, not even the heavenly realms or the angelic realms, know what happens because it's never happened before.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, it is really complicated when you start getting into this higher multidimensional place they show me, and I get to the point sometimes where I simply don't have words to describe what I see. But what they show me is, on the highest level from that of the source, everything has already been decided.
Yeah.
But going down the frequency somewhat, from our perspective and from the Nine's perspective, where they are in sixth density moving into seventh, the timelines are available for the Nine to see. But they can't see the timelines after the shift because that's all yet to be created.
Yeah.
So although everything has already been created, the one source has given us the opportunity to create as he does. or she does, or
right.
the source does.
Right.
So this is what's happening to us. We are now able to create just like the one source, because of course we are the one source. We are the one source from a different dimensional perspective. Each and every one of us are the one source. I mean, I haven't really researched the Mayan culture very much. I've touched on it lightly, and I saw somebody recently on television speak about the Mayan culture, and the things that he was saying was completely in resonance with that which the Nine has told me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I have done research. I do like to research and back up what the Nine tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
the majority of the things I've learned have come from my communications with the Nine.
Now, you're able to retain all that information when you get the information, don't you? I mean, some channels, they go into a trance and they don't know what they say or what they did or what they wrote, but you're able to hold on to that information and absorb it, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yes and no.
Oh.
Sometimes I will release something in written form, and I don't really remember. I am in a kind of a trance state when I'm doing the deep automatic writing, and sometimes I don't remember exactly what I've written. So it's not really a case of retaining everything consciously.
Right, right.
It's just that if somebody asks me a question, then it's kind of like the information instantly comes back to the forefront of my mind and I'm able to recall it. I guess that's how all our memories work, really. But yes and no, I'm not really in a trance, but there is definitely an altered state of consciousness. And I have memory, but it's not clarity, because I do feel that there is this this change in consciousness when I'm doing the channeling. It's like a white mist that swirls around me.
Mm.
And my memory and my perception is not exactly the same as it is in the total waking state. It's just very marginally different.
Huh, interesting. Interesting. Let's see, I'm just going to review some of the things I had jotted down as notes. So the Nine has an elegant sense of humor.
Yes, they do.
They are.
They do, and to be honest, I didn't think that was coming across, because I have to be honest, I have kept a lot of their humor out of my material, because I feel that as I deliver messages, it's quite serious.
Yeah.
But the Nine tell me it's not. It's actually not serious, and we all should be laughing and being humorous and having fun about this. But they are very funny. I mean, the Nine will have me laughing so much. But I haven't brought that much humor in, and it was only recently when I introduced fellow channel Zingdad, who released the material that his source is from Adamu. When I saw how much humor he brought into his material, and I thought, well, the Nine are similar, but I kind of don't always bring that forward. All the jokes they make, I think the people really want to hear all these jokes. So some of the humor with the Nine is kind of subtle, but you've obviously picked that up, and you're the first person to say that. So I'm pleased.
Well, I encourage you to allow some of that humor through, because it's quite. It actually feels like a higher, it's a higher energy humor. It's hard to put your finger on it. But
it is hard to put your finger on it, because they are serious as well. But they tell me the universe laughs all the time. And when they laugh, it's kind of like this rumbling feeling, and I can feel this laughter, and they show me the laughter, and I feel it in my chakras. But it's like the whole universe is always laughing, but the universe is feeling every emotion all simultaneously in the different vibrations. One of the funniest things that happened to me was I was with my brother in the very early days of channeling. I'd only been channeling a few weeks, and I lived in this flat with my brother, and he used to ask me all these questions, and he would help me channel, and he would explain to me what the messages were, because he'd done research and I hadn't. And once we had hardly any food in the house, and we were trying to work out what to have for dinner. And then my guide at the time, which wasn't the Nine, it was the same guide but in a different form, channeled me this cook. And I had this cook there with this big white chef's hat on, and he was telling me how to make this meal. And I'm saying to my brother, I'm channeling this cook. And my brother's saying, did he really exist? He said, oh, yes, he was here, an incarnation, and he was a great cook, and he made wonderful recipes, and he was Spanish or Greek or something, and he's coming to show me. And I made this amazing paella pasta thing all by channeling the cook, and that was... We found that funny that this came forward.
But, oh, that's funny.
Just one little story there to throw in.
I love it. What do they say about Gaia or the Earth being an entity and that she's also ascending in her own way and that, you know, that we're, in other words, the interconnection of the microcosm and the macrocosm?
Well, yes, absolutely. Earth is a living, sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she's... A perfect blend of masculine and feminine, but also on another level, she is female. And she is simultaneously being born, and yet she is the mother giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this spiral is. It's like contractions. Any woman out there who's had a baby will know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like going through a spiral. And if you're being born, you're coming through a tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and that core is... the moment you're born. And the same thing kind of happens when you're giving birth. It's like you're moving in a spiral as these contractions come to the core when you give birth. And that is exactly what is happening to the Earth. She is being born, is one metaphor.
Mm.
And the other metaphor to use is she is giving birth, and we are her midwives,
mm-hmm.
helping her
mm-hmm.
to have her baby. So absolutely, the Earth is a sentient, loving being,
mm-hmm.
and she has chosen now to ascend. She's chosen to give birth or be born. It's her conscious choice, and we, as her conduits,
mm-hmm.
we are going with this, and she is pleased we're going with this. But I have to say, she could do this on her own without us, because she's made the choice, and the higher energies are here to help Earth. But it's a smoother ride. It's like a woman giving birth on her own in a room without a midwife. She can do it on her own,
mm.
but she needs to have the support of the midwife with her.
Mm.
And, of course, that's who we are to the Earth. We are her midwives, and we're there for her as she gives birth to this wonderful baby. And we're all going to celebrate as you do when there's a birth. Yeah.
Some people like to use the metaphor that it's like going into a black hole. We don't know... You know, we're going to travel into a black hole, and we don't know what happens when we come out the other side.
And well, the nine would say to me again, that is a metaphor that can be used.
Mm.
What they would show me is a black hole is not black. A black hole is full of color.
Mm.
It is light and colorful.
Mm.
I know we may perceive it as black because we can't see it and it's dark, but
mm-hmm.
from their perspective, a black hole isn't black. A black hole is a doorway.
Mm.
It's a doorway to another realm. And it's another metaphor, and it's a metaphor that has high truth to it.
Wow.
I mean, Earth giving birth is a metaphor that has high truth to it, but going through a black hole also has high truth to it. So, yes, that metaphor is appropriate to use.
Mm. What? Obviously, there's a lot of strife and turmoil and greed and corruption and so on going on the planet right now. What happens with all of that? Does that just kind of get burned off or sloughed off, or how does that all work?
Well, no, it doesn't. I mean, well, what's happening is it's kind of like this spectrum at the moment. In the past, there's been sort of all this dark and light mixed in together, and as we know, the planet has been in a darker grip because it's been, you know, controlled, and most of the inhabitants of Earth have been in a state of forgetfulness and unawareness, and
right.
now that's changing. They're all becoming aware and becoming light. So you've got this kind of spectrum of with love at one end and light and awareness and understanding and people walking in alignment and abundance and synchronicity and connectedness. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you do have people who are not awake, people who are afraid, people living in fear and you know, all the negative fear derivatives, and that's very dark.
Mm.
So you've got these two kind of feelings. It's a spectrum. They're both the same thing, love and fear, but they are opposing of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this gap between the love and the light and the dark and the fear is actually getting wider at the moment. Now, what actually happens is And this is really difficult to explain. It's kind of like, it's kind of like there's two 2012. There's two cores. And you can choose which one you go with. There'll be one Earth that moves forward into a balanced alignment. It's not like a duality or a polarity between choosing between the light and the dark, but a lot of people get confused with that. Each of these vibrations are balanced as a whole. So there's one Earth that's kind of going forward in balance, but in love and compassion, and everybody is networking together, and everyone who will stay on that Earth will be in the fifth dimension, because the love that they carry and the light that they carry attracts the higher dimension. The higher dimension is in synchronistic alignment with the love and the light. Now, over on the other side, what will happen here is those who consciously choose, and it is a conscious choice, to stay with a dark, fear-based feeling, and they live this darkness, these people will attract, continue to attract a third density type experience. So there is an Earth for them, and they will go forward to a core, and there will be a change. But it's not an ascension experience. It will, and I think the metaphor of being moved to another third density environment, similar to Earth, that's the metaphor to use. The Earth that we know it, is, it has chosen to go into the light. So those that go with her are going with the Earth and moving into the fifth density, and that is the new Earth. And she's going with it now. I mean, this isn't something that's happening in the future. This is happening now, today, and we are, like, in it. But over on the other side, those people are also moving to a new place, but it attracts, you know, the density that they will stay in, they are attracting by their consciousness. And this is why it's so important now to choose your polarity. Are you going to polarize positive and be a service to others being, or are you going to move into a situation where you don't have enough light, so therefore you are either unpolarized or you polarize consciously as a service to self-being? Who is of the negative frequency. So, you know, we make our choice now. Do we want to go with love or do we want to go with fear? And we will attract that to our, us that we feel and that we put out. That's what's happening on both these frequencies. We're attracting to us now more than ever that which we've always known as the law of attraction. That, that exact philosophy is now working now in a much closer way than it ever has before. I mean, you can literally have a thought and it will manifest very, very quickly. And so it's very important now to be aware of what your thoughts are and make sure they're always in alignment with what the planet and the universe want. And that is the love vibration, and that's the polarization of the nine. They are a service to others, collective. And I have, I hope, polarized as a service to others, human. And, well, that's where I'm going anyway. I'm going on to the level. Yes. I've made my mind up.
Yes, I think I've made that choice already. And it seems that that's a choice that we made at the beginning of our incarnations, or outside of time and space, that that has already been the choice, and we're just now manifesting the choice that we already made.
Exactly, especially as we go back again to the indigo children, the crystal children, those from the higher vibration. They already made that choice because they've already polarized positive. They are already a service to others being. And what happens is when they are incarnated here, they tend to forget. And some of them have been kept awake and they've never forgotten. Others have been in a situation where they forget sometimes and then they remember again and then they forget and remember again. But then you do have another group of people who have not come from the higher density. So they are here to make their choice of polarization for the first time, although that again is a metaphor, but it's truth as well.
So the way I kind of am visualizing this is that we're all on the same boat, so to speak, but that at a certain point, it will split up into two different roots that are not going to be in the same place. In other words, once there's a shift point, some will end up in the fifth density, traveling through the fourth to the fifth, and those who choose the third will go in that direction and will be in another cycle of third density, whereas we will be in a higher light love density. And once that happens, there's no going back.
That's exactly correct. Although, always to bear in mind that these dimensions and densities exist in the same place. And this split and shift into two ways is, again, a metaphor, because it's all about vibration. But yes, but when you say there's no going back, well, that's true. There is no going back. But all those that move into the third density experience, this new third density experience, will be given the chance to do this again. You know, everything moves upwards in frequency and goes to its ascension point. So they will get this chance again. But we are very lucky now in the year 2008 because we're coming up to this point. And from a higher level, this point occurs all the time. But from our perspective as humans, this is the first time this has happened on our planet. So it's great to be here.
It is kind of fun. That's kind of like the forgetting game, you know. We intended to forget so we could have all the fun of rediscovering how exciting it is to go through this.
Exactly. And we planned that for ourselves. The mind tell me that all the time. Whenever I might say something like, oh, why are you doing this? Or why, they say, well, you designed this. You are the game designers yourself. You designed this for yourself, and you're playing out your own game. That's why you can't blame anyone else if you have a problem in your life. It always comes from you. Always comes from you on whatever level. We are the designers of our life.
Absolutely. And I notice so many people are going through difficult moments and losses and abuse and breakups and financial problems and all that. And it's hard to just, you can't really just say, well, you know, this is your design, you know, you chose this. But I try to tell people that, you know, this is allows you to ascend higher, that the lower you go, it's like a slingshot effect, that the lower you go, the higher you'll be shot up when you go to the swing of the pendulum. And so
absolutely, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, attracting the opposite polarity. I mean, once you go down, there's only one way, and that's up. But I agree, it's very difficult to explain to somebody who is in a state of darkness and fear and experiencing all the suffering. It's difficult to explain to them what it's like to be in the light. And unfortunately, you can be perceived as being uncaring and condescending. And, you know, I've had that thrown at me a lot. And, and the only advice I can give to any light worker who's in a situation where they're trying to heal someone in darkness is to just feel your way, really, with that person and do everything you can to bring about an awakening in that person and a healing. But as I said recently to a friend of mine, a person can't be helped unless they're in a situation where they can help themselves. Once they help themselves, then the help is given. You have to do it yourself first. It isn't handed to a plate on us by the higher light or the guides or by a human who's in a happy place. We have to do it ourselves. And when we make that first step to help ourselves, then the forces of love and light, in whatever form they may manifest in, will come to our aid.
Absolutely. There's a lot of buzz about the month of October and some various things that might be going on in October. Do they talk about October being a month of many possibilities? I mean, I'll throw out a few things that I've heard on the internet, that there might be, in October, there might be a massive mothership that will make its appearance. That's one possibility. Another is a nuclear war, you know, that we're going to attack Iran. And another is a false flag event, and so on and so forth. So there are dark workers that are trying to influence or to take over those who are gullible or available. So there is kind of a battle going on here, but it's a battle in the higher realms, is it not?
And that's
what
exactly
they...
correct.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a battle in the higher realms. I mean, battle isn't a word I like to use, and it's battle it sort of gives out negative feeling. The Nine probably wouldn't use the word battle, but this is true. There is a
tiff.
A competition type vibration going on between the light and the dark in the higher realms, and we're playing that out down here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, as light workers, if we see someone struggling between the light and the dark, between love and fear, we want to step in with all our love and all our service to help them, and we know, as we are guided, that it's our job to come in and help them and move them over. But from the same respect, the dark workers, the Black Alliance or the Cabal, however you want to call them, they also see somebody in a situation of flux and they want to get them to their side because they know what's happening.
Yeah.
They don't want to see this planet move into a state of ascension because when that happens, they lose the control. And this isn't just humans. This is those of an extraterrestrial vibration as well that are of the lower frequencies.
Right.
They don't want to lose what they have had with this planet, and many of them can't conceive of losing that. Of course, there are those who know that the light is very strong now, and what I'm shown by the Nine is a timeline where this succeeds. It absolutely succeeds, and we are in that timeline. I mean, this is going to succeed. We are going to ascend, and it's happening now. It's happening now. It's not something in the future, as I've said. But yes, there is definitely this competition type feeling between light and dark. About these timelines, about October, I mean, what the Nine tell me is there's lots of things happening at the same time. And this is kind of happening for a reason. You've got this October 14th prediction of a lightship coming. You've got the Hadron Collider situation where that was turned on and now that's no longer on and it, you know, may be turned on again. And you have this potential nuclear war that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nuclear war, when you mentioned that, the timeline where that occurs is absolutely nowhere near our reality.
Oh, good.
And those going with love and light are so far removed from nuclear war.
Good.
It's no... Nuclear war, to those in the love-light vibration, is just as unlikely as a green spaceship landing in your garden tomorrow and a pink elephant getting out saying, hello, I'm your mother. I mean, you know, that just... The nuclear war is just as unlikely as that. It's so far removed from
Wonderful.
Us.
Wonderful.
You mentioned Iran. Now, there is a feeling of darkness and unrest around that country, around that area. So that is kind of in our timeline. I'm not saying I see nuclear war or world war, but there may possibly be a pocket of some kind of negative cleansing going on around Iran. But again, the light workers can prevent this, for all timelines can be shifted. So if the light workers are aware that there might be potential war or unrest in Iran or any other area, they can put their love there and their light in meditation. That's what the light workers do. That's why they are light workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can prevent those timelines.
Mm.
We can create our reality not just as individuals, but globally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are doing. There are groups of light workers and way showers everywhere who are aware of this, and this is what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
And those are the people that are shaping this wonderful future for us.
Yes. Yes, all kinds of global meditations and global movements for peace and this and that and the other thing. It is a wonderful, it's wonderful to feel it growing exponentially, finally.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you.
Now,
it is wonderful to feel it finally growing and coming together. It's and it was predicted for all of us. I think every one of us standing in the light were told in our own way and shown the future, and it's here. It's here now, and it's wonderful for those in that love light vibration going with the planet. We are all experiencing the most wonderful abundance at the moment in our lives, and I don't mean necessarily financial, I mean universal abundance in every form, and this networking with all our soul brothers and sisters.
Even though on the material plane it appears that there's a global financial collapse that's being brought about due to the greed and corruption that's been going on. And that may continue to unfold, as it will.
Well, yes, the nine show me there that what the situation is with finances is everything is ascending, and everything is moving to its like vibration. So if you have a financial structure that was originally built on corruption and contains corruption within its system, it is not vibrating with the planet Earth. Therefore, it can't sustain. It won't withstand these new frequencies. Therefore, the financial structures built on corruption will collapse, and they must collapse. And this shouldn't be something to be feared, because what will come out of it is so positive. And unfortunately, sometimes things have to break down before they can be rebuilt in their new, much more positive form. But saying with the same thing, all financial systems and structures that were built with honesty and fairness and integrity, they will withstand and they will flourish. So if you are in some way involved in business of any kind, have a look at your business. Have you used corruption and, you know, shady dealing? If you have, then, well, I can't guarantee that your business will thrive. But if your business is built on integrity and honesty and trust and love, it will be fine. Even if it might not seem that way, it will be fine. Everything is moving towards its like vibration.
And also, it's never too late to make the shift from, say, service to self to service to others, meaning from focusing on greed and corruption and selfishness to actually thinking about others and working from a point of reference that you're in business to assist and to support other people.
Absolutely right. It's never too late to move over to the light. And the light embraces everyone, no matter what you have done in your past, no matter how much you think you've been, you know, dark and you know, bad or whatever. The light always loves you and will always, always match your vibration if you decide to move over to that. It's never too late to do that.
We talk about a choice between, you know, the love and light and the lower densities. I'm kind of wondering, how will that occur for people? In other words, the majority of people seem to be asleep, at least at the level that we see with our senses. Will each person, each soul, be clear about what their choices are? Will they be presented with, you can go in this direction or you can go in that direction, or is it different than that? Am I being too mechanical?
Well, those that embark on a journey of discovery, which involves going within and involves research, will be presented with a clear choice. But there are those that choose not to necessarily embark on a journey of research. Even so, things will come to them. Anyone vibrating within the light will have some kind of choice come to them, even if it's in dreams or knowing. But then there are people who may not make a conscious choice in the way we see it, but if they're good people and honest people and they care for others, they will be moving into the light automatically. Well, I mean, I have a friend who isn't particularly taking a spiritual path at all, but she's a good, kind, loving person, and
exactly,
she knows something's happening.
Pixie, we're running out of time, so I just...
Oh, what a shame!
It went so fast.
Can't we have a bit longer?
We went fast as a lightning bolt. I'd love to have you back.
I can't believe that's been an hour.
I know. I just got the message that we have to close up. So will you come back on the show again and share some more? Because we could talk for hours.
Oh, Zany, I'd love to. Thank you.
Wonderful.
I'd love to.
And I can't thank you enough. This has been one of the best shows I've had yet.
Oh, Zany, that's lovely. And thank you so much for asking me. It's been really nice to have the fireside chat with you. It really has been.
And how can people see your videos?
Yet, as you said, go onto YouTube and type in Magenta Pixie.
Wonderful.
And you'll find my channel.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Petra. And I just love your work, and I thank you so much for being on the show, and I just think you're the best.
Oh, well, Zany, that's so nice. And I actually see you as a member of my soul family.
I really do. We'll do this again.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.